And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm your host, Adam Minahan, in studio with my bud, David Niles, and we are so glad that you're tuning in to the sixth episode of the Catholic Man Show.
Hello.
Dave, it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, it always
is. It always is. Yeah. At least we have fun.
That's true.
I mean, maybe people don't enjoy listening, but we definitely have fun doing this.
Yeah.
We're glad you're listening. You're on board with us. And as we do every show, we started off with a warning. So, Dave, hit it up.
Be warned. If you find yourself as one of the individuals that sadly exist in this world who is susceptible to high levels of manliness, this show will be harmful to your health. Side effects could include death. I'm just saying.
Death is a pretty big side effect.
That seriously is my favorite side effect. Not that I like it as a side effect, but it's like, what do you mean death is a side effect of this medication? You don't just die. It's like, what happened to him? Death.
Death
happened. Like, what a stupid thing to say. It's like, no, maybe a heart attack or like aneurysm or something. I don't know, but like, how did he die? The death got him. That's how he died. But I'm serious about that. Death could get you here. If you're a big big wimp,
mm-hmm.
You need to like think about it before you listen to this show.
Yes. So there you go. You no longer can
you're
sue
warned.
Us. You've been warned.
They could still sue us. I mean, but not if they're dead.
Yeah, that's true. If they die, they can't do it.
They could sue us, but the judge would probably say, "Get out of here, you wimpy man."
Yeah, I think so. So this is a new show, and we're actually picking up a few new listeners because, as we announced last week, we are now members of the family of Breadbox Media.
Yeah.
That is a Catholic radio streaming service.
Of all of the Catholic radio networks I know of, it's definitely the most delicious sounding.
Yeah, Breadbox.
And, yummy.
And we actually just did a promo for them, and we actually asked... Is this website gluten-free?
We don't know.
We don't know.
We haven't got an answer yet.
No.
I think I know the answer, but you don't want to jump to conclusions.
That's true. No assumptions.
No, except unless you're Mary.
So...
I mean, no. Yeah. Yeah. She was. She had one.
So we are really glad that you're tuning in. If this is your first time to listen to the Catholic Man
Show...
Then welcome. We're glad you're here. But Dave, give them a little brief rundown of what the Catholic Man Show is.
Okay, so here's what we do. Every episode, we do three things. First thing we do, which we're going to get to speedily, is we open a manly beverage on air,
mm-hmm.
and we enjoy it because manly beverages are enjoyable.
Yeah,
and that's why we enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing we do is we discuss some man gear, mm-hmm. of some kind, whether it be clothing. Items, just stuff that exudes manliness. And then we talk about, you know, why is this a manly thing? What about this thing makes it manly?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big question to ask, you know?
Right.
And then we have a topic that we discuss.
Yes.
Today we're going to be talking about atheism.
Yes.
Which
affects every, I mean...
It does. And I'm going to say it's not a very manly thing.
Atheism is definitely
not manly.
It's not manly. No. So... I'm really pumped about this topic.
I know some manly guys who are atheists, but that's not why they're manly.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether they know that or not.
Yeah.
So if you can go to our website, thecatholicmanshow.com, and you can check out all of our other episodes. We now have a podcast, so you can podcast us.
I just want to say we are so legit.
Yeah, we're getting to become real.
I don't even know how that happened.
We kind of fell into legitness.
Yeah. We've been legitified. Exuding legititude.
We've been legitified as we've been evangelizing.
That's right.
So that's what we do here on the Man Show. We evangelize.
Through our evangelization, our legititude is contagious.
Okay, so let's get back here. Let's go to step one.
What are you saying? We're not on topic anymore?
let's go... With step one, what we do with the Man Show, which is the manly beverage.
Let's open this beer. Well, I guess we got to say what it is first.
Right. So up until this point, we've done whiskey every show. And today.
That's just because we like it a lot, I think.
Yeah, I think we like whiskey. We're whiskey guys.
But our buddy gave this to us.
Yeah, Scott Bassett gave this to me. Actually gave it to me, and I'm sharing it with you. which, by the way, if you want to give us...
Why did he give you one and not me?
Because it was my birthday.
Oh.
So...
Well, that's not a good reason.
Yeah. So, but if you want to come up with a good reason and give us a beverage to try, we now accept beverages.
For a small fee, we will accept.
We will accept that. No, but so Scott gave this to me and I thought, what a perfect beer to
Can
try
I say what
on,
it's called?
On the Man Show. Yes, please
It's called
do.
Dad's Little Helper Black IPA.
By Rogue.
By Rogue, yeah.
And it's a perfect beer for us to try, with it being Father's Day.
Yeah.
Upcoming.
It's brewed for fathers.
In fact, that's kind of in the description. It talks about like this beer was brewed for dads.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, how much manlier can you get?
Good question. Yeah.
For beer, it'd be very tough.
It's tough to get manlier than a dad.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, let's open this up.
Where's your, hand me that antler.
Yeah. he said that because my mother-in-law gave me a bottle opener made of that's a reindeer antler.
It's a pretty manly bottle opener.
Yeah. So, Dave's going to pour us a glass.
I'll pour you first.
And because we're on the Lord's team, the winning side, we raise our glass.
Let's raise a glass.
And for those who just, you know, tuned in for the first time, Dave and I, like we said, we try a beverage and we do it to enjoy the finer things in life.
Because you know what? God created these things.
Mm-hmm.
And he created them good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good. We should enjoy them.
Yes. Absolutely.
According to their teleological purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
So
they're to be enjoyed in moderation as we do here.
As we cheers to Jesus.
On the Catholic Man Show. Cheers to you, Jesus.
Yes. And I just want to applaud our listeners for like really getting the hashtag cheers to Jesus going.
It's because it's like,
that is a perfect,
what a good idea.
Yeah. So, cheers to Jesus.
To Jesus. Mmm. Oh.
I like this.
That is good.
But I'm an IPA guy. Like, if you had to say, Adam, you know, what kind of beer would you want? My go-to is IPA.
What happened? Like, I remember in college, neither one of us really liked beer. And you kind of went from 0 to 100 with the IPA. I remember you did not like IPA, and then
right.
It seemed like one day it's like, oh, that's all I drink.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
I'm an IPA.
Someone evangelized you, I think.
I think so. Someone must have evangelized me. Got me on fire.
Yeah.
For IPAs.
That's right.
And
they are delicious.
They are really
because
good.
They're like full body, but at the same time refreshing. Like you could drink one on a hot day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unlike a stout.
Right.
It's like, oh, I just finished mowing the lawn. Let me have a Guinness.
Yeah. Yeah. But this one, it's a darker caramel color.
The color is very dark.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
it's not like super thick.
I guess that's why it's a black IPA.
Right, but it's not like a thick, like a stout or a porter.
No,
like
uh-uh.
It's
nice foam. Mm-hmm. I poured it in the glass, and it looks awesome. You know, it looks just like what you'd want your beer to look like in a glass.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I like the description that it has on the tasting notes. It's a deep mahogany.
Mmm.
Yeah.
I love things of rich mahogany.
Yeah, so it's deep mahogany
many,
in
many
color.
Many leather-bound books and shelves of rich mahogany.
With roasted malt and hop aromas and dense creamy head, it enters the palate with intense hop flavor and coats the tongue with its rich maltness.
Mmm. It really does smell good.
Mm-hmm. And I think that if you're a, you know, IPAs, they can have a super extreme hop, like extreme
yeah.
hoppy taste.
Yeah.
This one is not an extreme hoppy taste. It's actually more of that maltiness, like it said.
It's even got a little cream.
Mm-hmm. It's not like if you're one of those guys who's like, I don't like all this hop, you know, this IPA would be okay for you to try.
I've had black IPAs before, but I couldn't remember necessarily. I couldn't before we opened it. I couldn't pinpoint in my mind what that was. But this is awesome.
Yeah, this is a really good beer, and it's super manly. It's Dad's Little Helper.
Yeah,
black IPA by Rogue.
I'll definitely buy this again.
Absolutely.
Well, not again because I didn't buy it this time. But you know what I mean.
Right. You'll definitely get it.
I'll drink it again.
Absolutely. It's really good. So Let's go ahead and take a break. And okay. Let's, so yep. That way we can get on to the man item, or man gear. I'm sorry. Whoa. Sorry. I meant
dude.
Man gear.
Man item. That sounds ridiculous.
So, yeah, it is man gear.
Man gear.
And
gear up.
And then we'll get into the topic. Because it atheism is one that we need to talk about.
It rears its head.
Yes. And it's escalating.
Ugly head.
Right. Ugh. So, stick around, hang through the break, and we'll be right back.
We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side,
so raise your glass. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan. We continued drinking this delicious beer over the break.
And it is delicious.
It is. It's called Dad's Little Helper Black IPA by Rogue. Thank you, friend Scott Bassett, for giving it to Adam for his birthday so that I could come over here and drink it.
through my holiness, I'm allowing you to... I'm sharing this with you.
This is clearly part of God's plan, and it's really coming together well for me. God is good. Oh, he takes good care of me.
So if you guys, thanks for sticking through the break.
Aren't our commercials awesome? We have sweet commercials.
I agree.
Like background music?
Yeah. Catholic radio and background music? Most
what?
Of the time, those don't go together.
Also, I don't know if you heard me just playing the harmonica there on our intro. That's just really...
You guys can't see me. I'm just sitting here shaking my head. No.
Seriously, though, we do have sweet intro music.
I love it.
Yeah. So we need to get it moving in. Oh, no. Before we do that, I just want to encourage people to go to our Facebook page. And there's this button that says like. I want you to take your cursor... your mouse, whatever peripheral you're using, and click that button. Here's the deal. Adam and I, we run this page, mostly Adam, but I do get the stuff too. If you send us a message, it's not going to go to like somebody else who's helping us. It's going to come to us. We're going to get it and we're going to read it. So like, if you want to talk to us, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, we want to hear your suggestions. We want to hear, you know, maybe some ideas that you have for upcoming shows. If you have, you know, a specific thing that you want to talk about regarding the topic that we bring up for a show,
mm-hmm.
you know, we want to hear from you. I mean, we're just a couple of dudes. Like, we're just a couple of dudes.
Manly dudes.
Manly dudes.
Manly.
That are trying to live our Catholic life
yeah.
in a secular world.
That's right.
And that's why we have this show. And so we want to hear from you to help us.
Did you know that our radio station won an award?
It did win an award. It was a sweet award.
We are award-winning.
You're listening to the award-winning St. Michael Catholic Radio with the Catholic Man Show, Adam Minahan and David Niles.
I got an email. I'll just tell everybody. I got an email from the Broken Arrow organization that gave us an award for being like a best of Broken Arrow business. And I thought it was a scam. Like, yeah, I don't believe it.
But then...
I'm not clicking the link.
I'm not clicking the link.
I'm yeah. not doing it.
But then we sent it to our internet guys, and we were like, is this real? And they're like, yeah, this is actually real. And so we looked at it, and turns out we won 2016 Best of Radio Programs in the Broken Arrow area. So that was pretty. That's pretty exciting. And so, when I got this, I told Dave, I said, Dave, there must not be very many people that are doing the Lord's work, because the Lord does not have very many options because we're having to do it.
Yeah, he seems to be working a lot with what we have going on.
Yeah.
And that's not a good sign. It isn't.
But yeah, so we want to hear from you. So check us out on Facebook. We also have a Twitter page, at the Catholic Man Show.
Also, if you just hate us, like if you despise what we're doing, let us know.
Yeah, we want to
get involved.
We want to hear from you.
We'll post your message on Facebook. I mean, like, We appreciate that kind of stuff.
Oh, so yeah, so we want to hear from you guys because that's why we're doing this show. We're doing it, you know, because we want to bring people closer to Christ and exude manliness in the process.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
And to stroke our egos.
That was Dave.
I'm just kidding. That's just Adam.
No.
So.
No.
Man gear.
Yes.
This is a good man gear.
Which, for those who are just now listening, you know, this is the first time. We used to have it. It used to be called Man Item, which I slipped in the last segment and said Man Item because that was just what we originally had.
That's what we called it at first, but we didn't like it.
We didn't like it at all.
We wanted a new name.
And we finally, you know, asked you guys, the listeners, you know, we need to come up with a new name because we're not creative enough to do it ourselves. Turns out a couple of our listeners hooked us up, Juan Posada, Andrew DeJoseph, and now we have the Man Gear. Which
so,
is?
Today, this is a Chef Buddy 19-piece set heavy-duty barbecue case thing. The man gear doesn't have to necessarily be this one, but I found this one online, and it's awesome. The spatula has a bottle opener built in.
So you could drink,
essential,
you drink the dad's Little Helper Black IPA by Rogue and be grilling.
So, let me tell you, I'm about as inept as it comes, as they come in the kitchen. But I can grill.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because I'm a man. That's
right.
Why.
That's right.
The same reason I can mow the yard. Because I'm a man.
That's right.
And that's what men do. And if you're going to grill, you need at least the essentials of
You need
of
the proper
grilling.
Utensils.
That's right. Because they have a purpose.
Right. And we're men, and we like purpose, we like structure.
That's right. So, this one, it's awesome. It's all stainless steel. It's got everything you need and more. It's got spatula tongs. It's got the grill brush. It's got a baster. It's got a sweet-looking knife and a little fork, big two-prong fork thing. And I think it looks like it'll even tell you the temperature inside.
Very nice.
It all comes in like a sweet case. I've got one that's very similar to this, and I use it all the time.
Well, I mean, if you're a grill guy, you're going to be.
You've got this already. Yeah, I mean, if you're a griller, you've already got this stuff. But this is nice just because it's all together,
mm-hmm.
and everything has its place mm-hmm. here in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Downside of the box is maybe you don't have to get out the box to get the spatula. You just want to keep the spatula
right.
in a drawer. That's fine.
Yeah,
but you don't have to get this. But the reason I'm even mentioning this one, this one says it's at Kohl's. It's $48. Originally $60. However, here on the website, there is a Groupon for this item to get it for $29.99.
Which is a heck of a deal.
So it's like half price.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And listen, like, I kind of started getting into, you know, smoking. Like, that's another
Dude,
side of it.
Oh, smoking is, that's the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of...
Picture this. You're smoking like a pork butt.
Mm-hmm.
Like the biggest pork butt.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you found the pig with the biggest butt,
mm-hmm.
and you killed it,
mm-hmm.
and you took that butt and you put it on a smoker, you're sitting there smoking it, and then while you're sitting there watching all this glorious smoke just rise to heaven,
mm-hmm.
you are there with like a glass of whiskey and
mm-hmm.
a beer,
mm-hmm.
smoking a pipe. It's like a double smoke. Mm-hmm. It's a double smoke effect.
While you're reading your Bible.
Mm.
I mean, does that get any better?
Mm.
Which, you know, I bring that up only because this last weekend, which you know, Dave, I smoked a brisket for my birthday. And I bought a huge brisket.
It was big.
It was a really big brisket. I was kind of nervous about it because, like, you know, briskets are a nice cut. They're kind of expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they're very time consuming. So, like, you have a lot invested into this, while you're doing it. So you don't want to mess it up. But I got up super early. I was up at like 4 o'clock and getting it prepared, put it on the grill. And there was just a moment after I got it set and I got the temperature right. Like you said, the smoke started rising. I was grilling it with some cherry and pecan wood, which was just smelled amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, it's early in the morning. It's still dark, but I see the smoke rising. And I'm hearing, you know, the birds chirping, like everything, like the day's about to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is the moment. Like, I don't get a chance to do it very often because I'm not really a morning guy. Like, it is a struggle for me to get up in the morning. I'm not a disciplined guy when it comes to getting up in the morning.
I feel like you're underestimating
the struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, I emphasize struggle.
It is.
I mean, like, I struggle with it. But I did this, and I just sat there and listened to God's creation, and I thought, this is the time to read my Bible. So I went back in, grabbed my Bible. I came back outside and I was listening and I was reading Genesis, the story, you know, the creation story.
Mm-hmm.
While the sun was rising, I heard the birds chirping. It was just a beautiful moment. All the senses were sensory overload: sight, smell. Everything. Hearing. Mm-hmm. Everything was just like, this is manly.
You know what, there's something, this is such a good feeling to be able to say you have accomplished something before the sun rises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Which I don't get a chance to say very often.
I know you don't.
But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing it. It turned out pretty good. Wasn't my best brisket.
Oh,
but
it was delicious.
It was pretty good.
It was fantastic. It was like super tender.
Yeah, it was pretty. I mean, 12 hours. I mean, it better be. I mean, I smoked it for 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 hours, and then let it rest for 2 hours before serving it.
Because it was tired.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I found out that the resting part for smoking is essential. Like, you cannot take the meat off the smoker and start serving it because apparently, you know, all the fibers break down in the meat.
Right.
And the resting part helps it to bond back up, and all the juices that happen with the smoking,
yeah,
that's
exactly
what contains it all and keeps that smoke flavor in. So the resting part is, there you go, guys. That is a tip for you. Make sure it rests for at least 2 hours.
And it depends on how big it is, too.
Yeah, but the everything that I read said, you know, anywhere between 2 and 6 hours.
6 hours to rest? Wow.
Yeah. So
I don't think I could look at it for 6 hours.
You foil it up, you put it in towels, and you set it in an ice chest. That's what they say.
Without ice in it. Okay.
But just in an ice chest. So
that kind of reminds me of that story. Some of my favorite moments to pray are if I'm home alone for whatever strange reason, you know.
Which happens like once a year.
It's like the blue unicorn moment.
Right.
And I'll sit outside on the back porch. My house backs up to a park, and it faces west. We're on the east side of the park, so I can overlook the west and watch the sunset over this park. You know, no houses in the way, so it's a really nice place. And I'll sit out there with a pipe, with my pipe and a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the moments that I have felt, some of the moments anyway, the closest to God, where it's just I sit there, and it's just like He and I, and you know, we'll just talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll just look at the sunset and smoke my pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect moment.
Yes. G.K. Chesterton, the pipe,
the pint, and the cross
all fit in Catholicism.
Yeah.
Amen. G.K. Chesterton was so smart.
He was the man.
Yeah.
Cheers to G.K. Chesterton.
Yes, cheers.
May he live with Jesus forever.
I'm sure he already is. I actually heard something about them trying to start the...
Oh, there's a cause.
Yeah, there's a cause for his sainthood.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which I could totally get behind.
Yeah, definitely. But we're running late, so...
We gotta go to break.
Yeah, we gotta get to break, so that way we can get into the man topic.
Yeah.
Which is something that I
want to talk about. Yeah. Okay.
I'm ready.
So, hang in there. This commercial break, it'll be over before you know it. So, just hang in, because you're really gonna want to hear these things that we have to tell you. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass.
Right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. We appreciate you sticking in through the break, because now we're going to get a chance to talk about what we're all here for, which is the man topic, which is atheism.
Word.
So basically what we want to do is we kind of want to set out what the problem is.
Yeah.
And then define terms and then talk about the problem and figure out the solution. So
there's a Pew study.
Yes.
And they've done all the work.
Right. So about
you've got the stats. Tell us what they are.
So about 13 million describe themselves as atheists/agnostics.
When was this? Do you have the year?
Yeah, this is a 2012 Pew study.
It's probably about the same.
Yeah. And actually from 2007 to 2012, it hasn't really increased that much at all. Like way less than 1%. Based on the graph.
It may have gone from like 5 to 6%.
But not. I mean,
but it's been about the same. Historically, there's always been about 5, 6% people who consider themselves atheist or agnostic.
But 33 million, which, you know, almost three times the amount, are considered classified as nuns. And we're not talking about nuns like the
there
Catholic...
There are more nuns in this country than there ever have been.
Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about Catholic nuns.
No,
we're not
sadly.
Unfortunately, I really wish we were.
Yeah.
But, and Mother Mariam of the Lamb of God, it definitely wishes that we were. I mean,
she's a nun.
Yeah, and she is trying to get...
Actually, she's not a nun. Here's a definition for you. A nun is cloistered.
Right. And a sister.
Religious sisters. Mm-hmm. But people commonly use the word nun for anybody in a habit, any woman in a habit. But if you actually see them, they're not a nun.
Right. They're, yeah.
Yeah.
But I listened to her podcast on Immaculate Heart every once in a while, and she said that she made a deal with God that before she dies, she wants to have 1 million sisters in her order. And then after she dies, she wants to have 20 million, which would be sweet to have, but that's not the case right now, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about nuns.
I'm not going to make any deals with God that incentivize my early death. Okay, in that case, I'll kill you now.
But here's the biggest problem, Dave. This is the most concerning. Is that 32% of these nuns, N-O-N-E-S, are between the ages of 18 and 29,
I just have to say something. One of us is between the ages of 18 and 29, and one of us isn't.
Yeah, so this is in your age
group. Old man.
So what's going on with your age bracket, Dave?
I don't know, dude. I'm trying to bail.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get out of it. Trying to get out of the riffraff.
Yeah, and what's crazy is from, you know, 2007, 38%. 2012, 49%.
I mean, that's a huge... I mean, when you talk about
jump.
Population shifts, that is a massive, massive move.
Yeah, which is extremely concerning.
For 6 years, is that what it was?
6 years, yeah. 07 to...
2013, is that what you said?
No, 2012, I'm sorry. 2012.
Oh, 5 years.
5 years.
Wow.
So, and... You know,
that's more than 1%. What was say that again?
38% to 49%.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I mean we're talking 11%.
That's like more than 2%
a year
of the population a nun.
Yeah, and how many? I mean, there's so many times that you hear stories of parents sending their kids off to college. The kid comes back home for Christmas break, or...
Guess what, Mom? I figured out something. God doesn't exist.
Right. Or I don't even care.
That's what...
Yeah.
The atheists, actually, they don't bother me as much. It's the nuns.
The people who just don't care at all.
Yeah.
Which is just...
totally indifferent.
It's so sad because, you know, the Baltimore Catechism says we're here to know God, to love God, and to serve God in this life so that we may spend eternal life with Him forever.
Right. And, you know, Jesus talked about the nuns, about being hot or cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, a lot of the atheists that I have talked to on Facebook, and I've really cut my teeth in this topic on Facebook, but a lot of them I have found to be very genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they believe what they believe because they're really asking these questions from a genuine place.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather be there at the judgment, when it was my judgment saying, God, I was really asking these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Then someone saying like, well, I just didn't want to go to church. You know, like I just didn't really care to find out the answers to these questions.
Right. Yeah.
You know, hot or cold.
Yeah. Not lukewarm.
Yeah.
So, Dave, I think it would be good to define. Let's do a little definition.
Okay. So, agnostic, atheist, these two things go together.
A lot of people use them interchangeably, which
of people use the term atheist to include agnostics.
Right.
Typically, they don't use agnostic to include atheists, except for the atheists themselves. Because it's, from the atheist standpoint, or agnostic standpoint, it's really hard to be an atheist. An atheist is someone who says, no, I believe God doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Where an agnostic says, I'm not sure whether God exists or not. Most of the time, agnostics lean towards the, I don't think he exists. But they say, but I can't prove it to you.
Right.
Just like you can't prove to me that he does exist. Mm-hmm. The atheist is a tougher position because you're saying, no, God doesn't exist.
You're making an affirmative, like, claim.
Right. And it's like, well, you can't prove that.
Right.
And they would admit that. So it's like, you can't, from their own standpoint, you know, they say there's not enough evidence. I believe he doesn't exist because the evidence points that way. Well, it's like you can't have enough evidence to positively affirm your position anyway. So you can't really be an atheist.
Right. Most agnostics say the only reason why I have to say that I'm an atheist or an agnostic is because I can't say I'm an atheist.
Right. Yeah, but it's a position that kind of backs itself into its own corner.
Right.
So that's the difference. But Adam, have you heard about the dyslexic, insomniac, agnostic?
Mm-mm.
He laid awake at night wondering if there really was a dog.
Oh, the sound of people turning the radios off.
It's a true story. True story. If you ever hear anybody tell, it's like, hey, this is a true story. It's not a true story.
So, Dave, what do you think is the reason for this whole nun rising, especially in, you know, your age bracket? What do you think is the cause there?
Well, this is just my opinion. I think it's because of relativism. Everything, you know, relativism is everywhere. There are two things that, like, just kind of get me going. Liberal feminists, mm-hmm. quote-unquote feminists.
Right.
They're not really feminists.
They're not at all feminists.
But just the things that they say mm-hmm. are just stupid. I'm not saying they're stupid, but the arguments that they make for their positions are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And then relativists, or relative positions, mm-hmm. relativist ideas.
Right.
They're equally stupid. And I am not ashamed to say that they are stupid. I mean, some of them, it's like, how do you even believe that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I had a Facebook conversation recently on the topic of abortion. You know, in Oklahoma, we just tried to pass a law making it illegal for doctors to perform abortions.
Right.
And the governor didn't pass it. I mean, it's going back and being reworked, but you know, obviously that stemmed a lot of Facebook conversations.
Yeah.
And I got in one, and the typical arguments that you hear from pro-choice people, they were, you know, coming at me, and I was responding. And then the guy who had like the main thread, you know, says, the deal is Adam's not right. You guys aren't right. Nobody's really right because there is no wrong. And I literally about like lost it. Like I couldn't handle it because I was like, so you're saying there's not a right or wrong. It's just up to anybody. That is like the definition of relativism.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
Dude, you're not making any sense at all.
Yeah, because you know, can't have a position on something if there isn't a truth, if there isn't an answer. You know, you can't have a question if there's not an answer.
Right.
What are you talking about? You can't have a debate if there isn't an answer.
Right.
There is an answer.
Right. There is such thing as right. There is such thing as wrong.
Our country has suffered so much from a lack of philosophy being taught.
That's just true.
I mean, it's like, you realize you can't even have, it's like, I feel like people don't know how to think anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to correctly process questions, answers. They don't know how to critique anything. I don't know how we got to there, but
I think it has to do with they stopped teaching logic and philosophy in school.
Right, yeah. So, like, especially with the atheists, a lot of these questions come down to philosophical answers and questions, not scientific ones. Mm-hmm. And the other day I was thinking about which is more important, philosophy or science. And I realized that, well, absolutely the answer is philosophy. It's way more important than science. Not necessarily in, like, oh, you need it more. Well, you just need philosophy first. Without philosophy, you don't even know what science is.
Right. As you're sitting there thinking which one's better, science or philosophy, you're doing philosophy.
Yeah, you have to, it's a philosophical question. I mean, it's like science, you cannot prove everything scientifically. Prove to me.
You can prove everything scientifically.
No, well, sure, yeah, you can't prove that either. But how about this one? Prove to me the number 5.
No, you can't.
Yeah. It's like, no, do a science experiment that proves the number 5.
Yeah, do a scientific, the scientific method on
numbers
the number 5.
Themselves are philosophical concepts. Mm-hmm. You know, and everybody knows without numbers, you got some pretty weird science, you know, and not going to be very accurate. Mm-hmm. So when we get back from the break, because we need to take a break.
Man, we've already gone through 3. This will be our last.
I know, so we're going to come back for our last segment. We're going to actually go through, here some arguments. Mm-hmm. This is the line of approach that I've taken with Atheists Online, that this guy you may have heard of, his name's St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
He's done a little bit of work on this subject. What he, his 5 proofs, we're going to just kind of touch on those. So don't go anywhere. You're going to want to hear this. I have an argument that has never failed in an atheist debate. So I'll tell you what it is. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan. Right before the break, I left you on the edge of a cliff.
Or what we call in the biz, a teaser.
Right, yeah.
Because we know everything about this biz now.
Yeah, we've been in the biz for like 6 minutes, so we're pros. But I told you that I had an argument that that has never failed me. In an argument with an atheist or a debate with an atheist. And that's true. This has worked every single time. Now, I'm not saying that I've ever convinced anyone not to be an atheist or an agnostic.
Right.
You know, that's an almost impossible task. But maybe I planted a seed.
Yeah.
I think I
did. That's like what we're supposed to do.
In fact, I know I did one time because the buddy I was arguing with, I found him asking people on an atheist Facebook page, like, hey, how do I answer this question? I don't know what to say here. And so I know he was challenged by it and didn't know what to say. Mm-hmm. So here's the argument. Typically, agnostics or atheists will fall into one of two camps, and you ask them right away, so do you fall into the universe has always existed camp, or the universe had a beginning camp? And they will almost always say the universe has always existed, because if the universe had a beginning, then that's a big problem for atheists because, well, how'd that happen? How did you get something from nothing?
Right.
You know, there was nothing and then there was.
Nothing ever comes from nothing. Nothing ever has.
Yeah, exactly. How did existence begin? You know, you need a God to do that.
A big banger.
Right. So they'll almost always say, no, the universe has always existed. And so then you can tell them, I can prove to you right now that is not true, that the universe has not always existed. And they'll say, go for it. You know, often with kind of a smirk on their face.
Smug.
Yeah.
Very
smugly.
Right,
I'd like to see you try. Mm-hmm. And then you tell them this, the very fact that today is happening is proof that the universe has not always existed. And then enjoy the next few seconds because they'll have a very strange look on their face. In fact, you might have that look on your face right now because it's a weird thing to say.
Right.
Until you explain it. Today is happening, therefore the universe must have had a beginning. Why? Well, if the universe has always existed, you're saying there's an infinite number of days in the past. You could just keep going backwards into the past forever. Although, the thing about time is that it goes sequentially. Today's got to happen before tomorrow and before the next day. So, yesterday had to come and finish before we could ever get to today. And before yesterday, the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that. And if the universe has always existed, then there'd be an infinite number of days in the past that would have had to already occurred, have already occurred, before we could arrive at today.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is that we have already counted to infinity.
Which you can't do.
Which you cannot do. You there's always one more that you have to count. So there would always be one more day that had to occur before we could get to today. You know, it's like you keep going backwards. It's like, well, nope, we can't start yet because there's still one more day. Oh, there's one more day. So the fact that today is here and that this moment is happening is proof the universe must have had a beginning. You don't need science. You just need half a brain. And you just need to, like, actually use that half a brain for a little bit. And then these things will become clear.
Yeah.
So the universe must have had a beginning.
Right.
If it had a beginning, it must have had a cause.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Kalam argument.
Yeah, that's a Kalam argument.
Yeah. All things that began to exist, or all things that exist began to exist. If the universe
began to exist,
it must have had a cause.
Right.
Yeah.
William Lane Craig, who's a Christian apologist, big Christian apologist.
Yeah. He's championed that argument. He's not.
Right.
He didn't come up with it.
Right.
But he's made that his sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good argument.
It's a really good argument. It's tough to combat.
Yeah.
I've watched several debates on him on YouTube.
He's very good in this realm.
Very, very level-headed. Here's another just tip as you're talking to atheists. You have to stay non-emotional.
Yeah.
You can't get excited, riled up, or anything like that, because if you do, it seems like that they win. Because this atheism nowadays, none of the arguments are new. They're not new arguments.
No.
They're all arguments that, like, old atheists, the new atheist movement, the four horsemen of atheism.
Right.
You know, all this stuff. All it is just old atheist arguments repackaged into this militant,
combative, aggressive
form that makes them say, like, well, you know, it's almost like they challenge you to get riled up and get excited.
Yeah, so you're getting emotional.
Right. And so you can't do that.
No. And you have to ask questions. The philosophical... Mm-hmm.
Socratic method.
Socratic, yes. Thank you. That is... So when you tell them this whole thing about, oh, the universe can't have always existed, what do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
Ask them. You know,
right.
And make them give you an answer, because now all of a sudden they've got to deal with what you
just
said.
They have to prove what they believe. I mean, they're saying we're atheists or we're agnostic. And so they have to prove, they have to come up with, they made that affirmative argument.
Yeah.
They have to prove that that's the case.
So Thomas Aquinas, he's also kind of the main man on this.
So this is how.
Let's go over his five proofs.
Yeah. Okay. So this is how smart Aquinas was, because he, like, back in the 1200s, realized that these were issues and thought this out and basically have already answered what the quote-unquote new atheists...
Right. There are a lot of people who think he is actually the smartest person to have ever lived.
Yeah.
Smarter than Albert Einstein.
Yeah. So here are his five proofs. We don't have time to go through them all. I'll just read them off, and then you can look them up on the interwebs.
Yeah.
Number one is the proof from motion. Number two is the proof from an efficient cause. Number three is the proof from necessary versus possible being. Number four is the proof of the degrees of perfection. And number five is the proof from design. Okay, and I like actually the last two are my favorites.
I like the first one, the motion.
I do too. I mean, that's kind of like what you...
It's the easiest. I think it's the easiest one to understand. You know, like, he uses the example of you have a train, or maybe he didn't use that example, but this is a good way to describe it. You have a train with an infinite number of cars. And it's going down the tracks. Well,
something has to...
How did it get started? Yeah,
right.
It had to have something that put it in
there
motion.
There has to be a first mover.
Right.
Which, the first mover is what we call God.
Yeah.
But the one I like is the proof from the degrees of perfection. And I also like the proof from design. It's like, you know, you're walking down the ocean, you see a sandcastle being built, and you're like, oh, that must have just happened by chance.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. Somebody did that.
Right.
But the proof from the degrees of perfection, we all evaluate things and people in terms of their being more or less perfectly true, good, noble, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all do that.
Right.
We have certain standards of how things and people should be.
But why should they be that way?
Right. But why, you know, but we would have no such standards unless there was something that was completely true, completely noblest, completely good, completely beautiful.
Right. Otherwise, if he wasn't completely, perfectly good, then there would be a level of good you could reach where, oh, if you were more good than that, all of a sudden, it's not good.
Right.
You're too good.
Right.
And you can't be too good.
Right.
Because there must, and so because you can't ever be too good,
mm-hmm.
there must be a perfection of good.
Yeah. We're,
it must exist.
Right, exactly. And this most perfect being, this most perfect, however you want to, you know, say that is what we call God.
He is God. And you can't prove this scientifically.
Mm-mm.
You this can't, you don't need, it's not a scientific question.
No.
Is the question is, can you be too good?
Right.
Could you ever have something that was
too,
that possessed too much goodness?
Yeah.
No.
Truth, goodness, and beauty.
Or something that was too true.
Right. Or too beautiful.
Right. Ain't no such thing as a woman too pretty.
Right. Because, you know, truth, goodness, and beauty are things that humans, by their very nature, desire.
Right.
And you can't get enough of it.
Right.
You can't get enough.
Could you ever have a man with too much class? No.
Right. So those are the kind of the arguments. Now, for people who want to know more, we don't have time to go through
all this
stuff.
We'll post it on Facebook.
Yeah, but there's a couple books that I want to, you know.
Answering Atheism.
By Trent Horn.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
He's the man. He's so good.
I would love to meet him someday. Phenomenal guy.
He said the same thing about me.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. but Answering Atheism, his book, The Catechism of the Catholic Church, in paragraphs, I believe 32 or 31 to 33 or so, gives a phenomenal description of how we should believe in God and how we come to find out there is a God.
Yeah.
Also, Scott Hahn has a book called I think it's called How to Defeat the New Atheism or something like that. So
today, we enjoyed the Dad's Little Helper Black IPA by Rogue. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about grilling and how every man needs a
grill
set of grill tools, mm-hmm. which is true. We talked about atheists. Mm-hmm. You have enjoyed this episode.
Or at least we hope you have.
No, they did. I know they did. This episode has come to a close. Thus saith me.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus. See you next week.
Thanks.